Well, good morning again. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor, senior citizens pastor, and it's a joy to have you visiting with us. Jane Becker's in the studio with us this morning, and Jane, you've been telling us a story about how God used a neighbor that was a good friend, but she had a dream, and she told you, now, I'm going to have to go into my prayer closet and talk to the Lord about this because I'm a little bit bothered by it. And as you were finishing up our last broadcast, you were basically telling us that caused you some concern. Like, you thought, man, I'm okay with God. I've gone through confirmation and everything. But there appeared then at that point to be something missing in your relationship with God.
Yes. I knew that if indeed I was a Christian and I was headed to heaven when I died, that the Holy Spirit lived inside of me. I never thought of it before, but I couldn't mesh that with the fact that I can live the life that's characterized by sin on a daily basis and not feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I'd feel shame or embarrassment or regret, you know, for the circumstances.
Right. When in essence you didn't. And so at that point you began to say, maybe I'm not a Christian? Is that kind of what was going through your mind?
Yeah, it was awful. It was a horrible 2 or 3 days.
Okay. Did you express that doubt to anybody, to your friend or anybody else?
After 3 days. Yeah.
What did she say?
She just kind of looked at me and she said, well, I guess you got something to do. There's something to take care of, she said.
Okay.
Like, okay. And I let that sit for a little while also. Because behind all of this is the enormity. It's not just, you know, what that means for me. It means I've been teaching my children wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I had 2 children by that point.
Right.
You know, I had been married twice and divorced twice by that point.
Sure.
And so I taught my children lies. They were lies.
Yeah.
They were not
yeah.
true. They're not according to what the Bible said.
You didn't recognize them as lies
no.
when you were teaching them, but now you did.
Yeah. So there was guilt.
Okay.
There
all
was
right.
shame.
Shame.
There was the reality and the enormity of what this meant for everyone else that has gone on before me. That was really hard.
Mm.
That was a hard truth to come to terms with.
How long did it take you to finally deal with the truth personally and change your relationship with God?
That was after the 3 days.
The 3 days.
I verbalized it to my friend.
Okay.
And I went into my house, and I called her later on that night, and we talked for hours. She kept saying, do you want me to come over? No, no, I'm fine. But I wouldn't let her off the phone. Eventually, I did let her off the phone, and I just confessed to the Lord. I had been attending Brookside for a period of time at
okay.
that point.
Okay.
And the Lord clearly used this church and mm-hmm. the fellowship
mm-hmm.
to bring truth to me.
Right, right.
And it was a matter of moments. And I just told the Lord, I'm like, I've done everything I can in the world. My life was characterized by sin, yes, but I had a profession. I was respected by my family, by
yeah.
the people in the area that I worked. You know, I owned house and stuff and went through things and tried to raise my kids, but nothing was right.
God had taken away peace. Isn't that interesting? The God of peace, as he's described in Romans, had just taken away peace. Why would God do that?
Well, I never had peace. I mean, I don't remember that until after coming to know the Lord.
Then you knew peace. Yeah.
I mean, it's not the same as easiness.
Oh, no, definitely not.
You know?
No.
But there is most definitely peace.
It's really the sensing of his presence. And when we have the security of his presence, then at that point, we can be at peace because we recognize God with us, which is the meaning of the word Emmanuel, isn't it?
Yes.
God with me. And what a change that brings about in your personal life. Now, how old were you kids when this happened?
Well, that was interesting because Joe was 19. And
okay.
So Sean was 7.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Joe grew up with the old mom, and Sean grew up with the new mom.
Right,
two
right.
very different. I am, of course, the same person, but very different in personality.
2 Corinthians 5:17, old things are passed away.
Behold, all things have become new.
And so consequently, at that point, you had a real desire to try to correct whatever inaccuracies you had been teaching your children, I'm sure.
Yes. And that's an interesting process,
mm-hmm.
because Joe, he was brought up in Lutheran school, Lutheran teachings,
right,
and stuff
right.
like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we look around and there's no difference.
Mm-hmm.
There was mm-hmm. no difference.
Right.
You know.
Now, prior to that time, were you homeschooling?
No.
Okay. So how long after your salvation did you begin to homeschool?
I think it was 3 months. It was almost immediate.
Was Joe out of school by that time?
Joe was out of school okay. and actually out of my home at that point.
Okay. So at that point, you began to really get totally involved. I mean, homeschooling with Christian curriculum and that kind of a thing, that was a drastic change.
Yes, but it wasn't by choice. It wasn't, because if, you know, I gave up a career, I, you know, all of a sudden my house needed a new roof, and it was, you know, it doesn't seem like much, but for a single mom,
oh, yeah.
it's a huge deal, and the cheapest estimate was $13,000, the most expensive was $40,000. I would have had to take another mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
The equipment that I was working with changed from basic data networking with some security to they put me on a voice over IP job, and I had no idea how to do that. And then my position was declared surplus, so I either had to look for another position within the company,
okay,
which would have meant more 24/7 on
oh,
call.
Oh,
and
as a single mom?
As a single mom, which is what I've been doing almost that whole time.
Sure, yeah.
You know, I talked with someone who is now a very dear friend of mine at a party. So we talked about what I wanted to do now that I had this
mm-hmm.
option.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, it's crazy, but I'd kind of like to homeschool.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, then do it. I'm like, well, how can I do that? I'm a single mom. She goes, well, if God wants to do it, then he's just going to have to make a way.
Okay.
So I started thinking about that and, you know.
Praying about it.
Praying about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But again, a brand new baby Christian.
Really hard to know how to pray, isn't it?
Yeah. And I decided to do this. I had very little support, certainly none from my family,
mm-hmm.
except
mm-hmm.
for one cousin.
Because,
okay. you know, it looks crazy. You have a career.
Right,
you
right.
have a house. You're going to sell all that stuff. You're going to leave the career. And you're going to move out. And you're going to live where? And how are you going to make your money? And how are you going to support? And the answer was,
I don't. You had no answers.
No answers.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people thought I was, you know, really insane at that moment.
Mm-hmm. And you haven't starved.
I have not starved at all. And my kids have not starved.
And, right, right.
You know, we're not living the lifestyle we lived before, which
right,
I thought
right.
it was all about, as it turns out. We just had a conversation with Sean, and he came to the same conclusion on his own.
Mm.
And I'd rather be where we are now
yeah.
than where I was before.
So what did you learn about God during that transition process?
He will sustain me if I trust him. But I have to listen to him. He's faithful. He does require obedience. I mean,
mm-hmm,
and it,
mm-hmm.
it took courage to do what I did, but I did that in his strength.
Right.
He gives you the courage.
A while back, you sensed that the Lord was leading you to go back to college.
Yes.
Was that a step of faith?
Oh, yeah.
So what have you learned about God since then?
Oh, he works through unbelievers. Within the first 2 weeks of school, he confirmed through the words of an unbelieving instructor biblical concepts that just confirmed to me, this is where the Lord would want me. This
mm-hmm.
is what he is. This really is his will.
Right.
Because it was a 2-week decision. That's how long it took me to think of it and actually become enrolled.
Okay.
And it's trust. It's trust all the way. And it's hard when there's no logical reason.
You know, it reminds me of the children of Israel going across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And God said to Joshua, now tell the priests that are carrying the Ark of the Covenant to get their feet wet in the Jordan River. And once they get their feet wet, the river will back up and they'll walk across on dry ground. But they had to get their feet wet. That's kind of like the walk of faith, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's one thing to say you trust, and it's another thing to sell and move and be willing to invest every asset you have, every earthly asset, you know, in what you believe the Lord would have you to do.
Yeah. Because once you do that, Jane, what happens if you wind up with nothing left?
Well, you still have to trust God.
You still have God, don't you?
Yeah.
And that's the point. You know, anything other than God leaves us empty. But yet God said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then these things that you need, food and clothes, will be added unto you. And I guess what you're learning is you can do with a whole lot less.
And I've been there before, so I know I could. So it's actually easier with a whole lot less. And I think I'm one of the few nursing students whose goal is to not go out there and get the best job.
Okay.
You know, and a lot of people are focused on money and income and all of that. And there are a lot of nurses that their purpose there is to give high quality care to individuals, you know, which are all very good reasons.
Right, right.
I want to serve the Lord if that means for nothing somewhere, for no monetary return.
Right.
But the entire world is his mission field.
Would you say, Jane, that you're kind of like going through a halftime experience in your life, kind of like you got a football game and you play the first half and then you come to halftime and you begin to think, okay, what's the rest of my life going to be? And does anything need to change? If so, now's the time to make these decisions.
That's my whole life since salvation.
Yes.
The whole thing. It's all different, you know, and
you're the same person by name.
Right. And, you know, the people that I've grown up with and knew before, you know, I'm different to them in appearance.
Yes.
In the things that I do.
Right.
But the Lord is continuing to change me.
And you know, folks, as you're listening to us wrap up this broadcast this morning, that's probably the same testimony that you can share. That once you give God control of your life, which means trusting him, even when you don't understand what his plan might be, waiting upon him, not rushing ahead with plan A, plan B, plan C, but waiting on him, watching him provide. And when you do, you will discover he is Jehovah Shalom. God is your peace. He is Jehovah Jireh. God is your provision. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.